connected do you feel to your body, your spirit, the earth? How about a friend? What about a stranger? Do you catch yourself placing judgment and limitations on the people and things around you? Are you open to growth and alternate possibilities? In this episode, we review awareness and what that could mean for you. Being aware of others, the earth, and your spirit, and what that might look like. If you're ready to learn and grow with us, we'd like to welcome you to You Already Are. Hello, and welcome to You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson, and this is my co-host,
Michael Gardner. Good to be with you.
Yeah, we're happy to be here. We've got an awesome topic, something that I feel like I've been holding off to talk about because I wanted everything to be in the right circumstances, but I think it's important. And you call it awareness, Michael, and I think a lot of people just have different words for what they want to describe it as. So awareness, mindfulness, being present. My mindset coach talks a lot about just calming the subconscious mind the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. And that's part of being aware, is just kind of like, he calls it touch and see. So you touch something that's around you and you look at something to stop the narration that's going on in your head, if that makes sense. So all of the busy thoughts in your head of how am I going to do this? Why is this happening? Thinking all the time. I do it most often in the car. Every time I'm driving my kids, I'm constantly just thinking about what I should be doing when I get home, what my plans are, or just random thoughts. And he talks about trying to stay present and trying to stay aware of what's happening around you rather than getting caught up in what's going on inside. Tell me what your take is on that. What is awareness to you, Michael?
To me, awareness is all that, but it's kind of what you were saying as a much deeper level. It's beneath the conscious, subconscious elements of us and the mind chatter that goes on inside of us. And it's connecting with the deep knowing within ourselves that does connect with everything. So it's a peripheral awareness, a visual, a sensual, but it also goes way deeper than the mind and just being in touch with everything. Ultimately, at our being. That said, it's something I believe we all have a challenge with, because we do have mind chatter and we do have our thoughts that we have created from our experiences in life. So getting there is part of the challenge.
So can you expand a little bit on what you mean by the connected to everythingness?
Yeah, it actually goes along with the term honesty, which is from the Latin, which means one with what is, connecting with everything in us. And part of the challenge is that is there's parts of us we don't want to connect with it because we judge it, or we think it's the ugly part, or we judge it as negative or positive. It is actually connecting with everything within us and around us at a visceral level, you know, at a cellular, molecular level. When I'm talking about this, there are times when I felt close to this, but there's a lot of times when I get to the end of the day and go, I don't know what happened today. You know, I haven't been in the moment. But yeah, and I have found there are levels of awareness, the lowest being mystery, which is kind of clueless. I don't know what's going on. I live my life kind of clueless and things just keep happening. I don't know why. Then there's belief. Based on our life experiences, we develop beliefs about things. Then we tend to get rigid in those beliefs because we like to hold fast to what we think is truth or think what is. But then there's actually a level where we say, you know what, I believe what I believe, but I'm open to the possibility that what I believe is not true. And that's where we start to open up to the things around us and the things within us, so we can really see them for what they are rather than through the eyes of judgment. We open up. And we are allowing ourselves to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's where we really, in my experience, start to open up to really be aware of what is, even if we don't like what is. It's opening up to it so we can deal with it.
Okay. So similar concept to something we touched on in the past, which is accountability, of being accountable for your life. And being aware of your accountability is part of that process. So I wanted to ask you, with this awareness, what do you think that looks like for someone? What would that look like and what would that feel like when you are being aware and to all of it, to being honest with, at one with what is? How do you think that would feel? How would that look like in someone's life? Do you have an example of somebody who maybe is really close to reaching that?
Oh, I would say Jesus, God.
Right, Gandhi.
Buddha, Gandhi, yeah, those people. And that's a great question. How would it look? You know what? That's a tough one to answer. That's a great question. I believe when we're in that space, we just know what we know. And there's no question. It's deeper than confidence. It's a trust that we know what we know. And we're willing to be, for lack of a better word, wrong about it. But as such, we can open ourselves up and actually know things. Where when we're stuck in our belief and they become fixed beliefs and we want to be right about them, we can't know truth because we're stuck in our belief about what is truth. But when we're in a state of total awareness, and I'm speaking theoretically, because if I have been there at times, it comes and goes because I'm human and still learning and still growing. But it's where sometimes you can, like, if you've ever known what somebody is thinking and you just know it and you're not like vested in, oh, I got to be right about that. But then they tell you what they're thinking and you're like, oh, wow, I just felt you were thinking that. That's awareness, where we're just in tune with everything around us. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize we're in that state, but then something like that happens. Or we have a feeling that there's going to be a car running a red light as we're going through a green light. And so we look and we avoid getting into a wreck because something said, beware, something is going on. That would be in that state of awareness where it doesn't make sense. And I found a lot of times things of that nature don't make sense because, like, I'm driving down the road and there's a green light. So the other cars, of course, they're going to stop. So it doesn't make sense to look around, but then sometimes we have this little gut feeling or a little gnawing in our brain that says, watch from the right side or watch from the left side. Or as a mother, mothers have an intuition, I believe. I'm speaking, again, theoretically, because I'm not a mother, where you kind of know when your children are hurting. Fathers have it too. I mean, we're not clueless, but mothers, because I believe you've had that bond with those children for 9 months, there is a greater connection. Or twins will have it. Twins. Somebody can be in New York and one can be in California. And they know what they're feeling. In fact, they might hurt and the other one is hurting. So that's what I'm talking about. It's hard to explain. But when you're there, you feel it and you know it. And what I found too is when things are of spiritual nature, and I am talking about that, sometimes English doesn't do justice to it. We just know it. What's your experience of it?
So I was going to explain it in a different way because, again, I think that this is touched on in a lot of different places and people have different ideas or terms for it. So my mindset coach, he talks about, and we've talked about this a little bit, how there's two different minds, and this is how he explains it, is you have your conscious mind that's really good at keeping you safe in a way of like being aware, taking things in, senses, all that stuff. And then you have your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is the mind that's connected to the universe. And your subconscious mind works a million times faster than your conscious mind and is able to problem solve a lot faster than your conscious mind. And he talks about how you want to imagine your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is the one that you are aware of, the one that you think with, that you know that you're thinking. And the subconscious mind is one that you don't really know that it's going on. It just is happening. It's the subconscious mind is what helps you walk, because you don't think about walking, you just do. You don't think about breathing, you just do. You don't think about blinking, you just do. That's the subconscious mind working. This is how he explained it to me. So your conscious mind, you want your conscious mind to be a calm lake, but most of the time people are using their conscious mind as their subconscious mind. They're trying to problem solve with their conscious mind, with that smaller mind that's not very good at problem solving. And he talks about how our subconscious mind is really good at problem solving. And when we can pass our worries and our problems onto our subconscious mind, it's basically giving us access to the universe or to God, because that's how God talks to us, is through our subconscious mind. But he talks about how when we calm our conscious mind, we can be more connected to what's happening around us. And more, another term for it is mindfulness, is being aware of what's happening around us, being in the present moment right here, right now, because you can't think about the future and you can't think about the past. You want to be right now to calm your mind and help your subconscious mind work out all the problems that you've got going on. And there's this saying, this quote that's, I think it's by, who was the person I mentioned before? Gandhi. I think it was Gandhi that said it. It was like, if you're thinking of the future, you're anxious. If you're thinking of the past, you're depressed. If you're thinking of the present, you're happy. That is why it's called a gift. Or you find joy. It's very simple, something similar to that is what he said. And that's what mindfulness and stilling your mind, calming your mind is a lot about. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, is being aware and present of everything around you while you're letting your subconscious mind be connected to the greater whole. Am I getting that right, or did I totally miss the mark?
Well, you're not wrong. It's, you know, I'm not right. I'm just, this is my experience of it. So I think to be more clear what I'm saying and what you're saying, what you call the subconscious mind, I would call our spirit. What the conscious mind is the ego. The ego takes all the information, puts it in a ball, and says, this is how life is, whether it is or not. But that's because that's its job. So it navigates us through life. And its job is to protect us and to look good in the process and to be right about everything. Where our spirit is just simply open to everything. And it sees it not through judgmental eyes, but through the eyes of this is what it is. Even seeing what we would call in our ego mind a calamity, it just says this is something that's happening. And that, by taking the judgment out of it, it allows us to deal with things in a more effective way to support us in having peace. But the ego mind operates out of fear. So if you and Remington want to go on the walk out in the desert, the ego mind says, Alyssa, there's rattlesnakes. And it will say, be careful. In fact, maybe you better not go because you might get bit. Where in our spirit self, or, you know, what you would call the subconscious, says, yeah, I know, I'm aware there's rattlesnakes. So I can go out, and being aware, I am less likely to be bitten by a rattlesnake than if I'm clueless. If I don't know there's rattlesnakes out there, or something like that. So instead of operating out of fear, though, it operates out of what I would call love and peace, because it's not afraid of anything. It's just, it's awareness. So that's why it would protect you if you're going to drive through your green light and you assume that all the cars will stop. Have you ever lived in a foreign country?
I've not lived in a foreign country. I've only visited.
But you've been. Yeah. Yeah, I lived in a foreign country, and you learn pretty quickly, don't take stop signs or red lights for granted. That's more of a suggestion, maybe, to some people. So that's a defensive mechanism, but the real point of awareness to me is where we just have the something telling us, look out. And it doesn't make sense, because like, why? Everything seems to be okay. Why am I looking out? And then you look out, and then you see why. But we tend to deny those feelings a lot. You know, a lot of promptings we have in us of go this way, go this way. People have dreams within themselves of what they would really like to do. And I believe those dreams are saying you can do it. You got to be willing to pay the price, but you can do it. You can have it. I don't think our little spirit messes with us and tries to fool us, but we don't always listen because it doesn't make sense. And if I could go back, I think I've given this example. When I was working in accounting, every day I'd drive into work and go, there's got to be more to life than this, but what would I do? And I just felt like I would like to do something that makes a difference in the world. And I saw myself up in front of people speaking. Well, that didn't make sense because I'm working in accounting. You know, what do I have to say that anybody's going to want to listen to? I don't even want to listen to it. It was a job. But what did I do for the most part of 30 some years was exactly what I was seeing. I just had to listen to myself when it was guiding me, go here, go here, go here. And the doors opened up that wouldn't have. In fact, the door, when it opened, I didn't know that the path I was taking was going to open that door. But that's that part of us that knows truth and that knows what is and knows who we are and knows what will bring us the greatest joy and satisfaction. But we don't always listen to it because we've got, well, I've got this, I've got this. Logically, does it make sense for me to do this? And that's why it's, to me, so challenging to listen to that part of us because it doesn't always make sense. And our little ego says, oh, you can't do that. That doesn't make sense. You've got this, 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 all these reasons why you can't. Which was true back when I got invited to a tryout for a professional baseball team. I had all these voices of my life saying, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you can't make it, you don't have what it takes. So I didn't even go to the tryout. I just went, nah, I'm not going to go. It's a waste of time. So I don't know if that all ties into...
I think I was talking about something different, but I think what you're saying is being aware and in tune with our spirit, right?
Well, we're in tune with our spirit, we're in tune with everything in my experience. Right. Yeah.
So my question is, what happens when you haven't felt a connection to your spirit and you're lost and you have no idea who you are, what your purpose is, and you just kind of feel like you have no direction? Because I ask this because this I feel like is a plague in our world today, is people don't know who they are. They don't have a purpose, or their purpose is to be an individual and that's their only purpose. I don't know. I just feel like there's so many people out there who are lost, who are trying to find themselves, and they're either not, and I don't want to be judgmental, but just like maybe they're not asking the right questions, or maybe they've forgotten how to connect with their spirit. So what would you say to someone who is struggling with connecting to who they are or their spirit?
First of all, I've got to go into my own to find the answer that they're asking me. And I mean, look at the world. Look at where we are. If we were all living in our spirit, the world would be a much different place. And that includes me. I'm just going to say, I'm contributing either to the world of chaos or a world of peace. And I look at the world and say, well, you know what? I've got some more work to do because we're not really at peace. You know, I'm not really someone to give advice. I would just start asking questions. And my purpose in asking the questions is to have them ask themselves questions, because the answers that I would have are not for them, they're for me. But what are you looking for? What do you feel? What have you ever had a feeling that there was something more for you? I think everybody has that, but we ignore it because we get caught up in what we have to do versus what we really see ourselves doing.
We make a box. Mm-hmm. This is something my voice coach mentions, and several other people have talked about it too, is we make a box, and this is the box that we have to stay in. And this is what we think that we're capable of, that we think that we should be doing, or even going further. Sometimes people put the universe in a box and it only works this way, or God in a box and he only works this way. This is the only way he talks to me. This is the only way it works. And we have to make our box bigger. And I think that's kind of the process of finding the journey to inner fulfillment and joy and all that, is trying to make our box bigger and bigger and bigger until we I mean, you start to reach the understanding that God works in mysterious ways. The universe isn't always explainable, and we are not contained in a box, and neither is the universe, and neither is God. It's like all of this stuff outside the box, we have to try and open our spirits and our hearts to that and ourselves to that in order for us to fulfill our potential, at least try to fulfill our potential, because we have infinite potential and infinite worth. But if we put ourselves in a box and we say, my dream doesn't fit in this box, so I can't do my dream, I can't be who I want to be, well, we have to expand our box and make it bigger. I think that was a really good concept my voice coach told me, because she was like, okay, well, you're singing this way that you've sung your whole life, and this is how you view yourself, this is how you view your singing. And she was like, but that's just one tiny box of you, of your voice. And she was like, you need to make your box way bigger, because you are so much more than what you're showing. And so that's a lot of the process that we work through.
Yeah, we take an infinite concept and put it into a finite, is what I'm hearing you say. We take a concept like spirit, and well, let's just put it in a box. Love, let's put it in this box. You know, forgiveness, all that stuff, we put it in a box. We make an infinite concept finite and self-limiting. So one of the things, what I did over the years with people, would be to challenge them to stretch outside of themselves, to get an experience, because you can tell somebody you're great. I mean, all my life, people said, you know, they told me what they thought I could do. I could be this, and I could be this, and I could be this. But I had to experience it. You can't tell me. You can, but it's like when somebody would come into the training and they feel like crap, and everybody says, no, you're great. Yeah, that's all well and good. We can spend 4 days with pom-poms around this person saying, you're great, you're great, you're great. And they'll like that, but they're going to go home, and all that stuff we've done is gone, and they're going to be left with what they have. So part of the work was to challenge them to stretch outside of themselves to actually experience, even if it was a moment of seeing themselves as far more magnificent than they believe possible. And the premise I had in the trainings was, you are more powerful than you believe. And I would have people saying, well, I know I'm powerful. Well, you're more powerful than that. And whatever you think you know, there's more. So it works two ways, I will tell you. People are like, I already know I'm this. You know it to a point. You've put it into a box now. It may be great. It may be 1,000 times bigger than the box I put my life in. But you still put it in a box, and you still limit it. So my whole job was, you see, I had people come in that done things I never thought I would do, and I don't want to do them. It was for them. My job wasn't to say, I'm further along than you. My job was simply to challenge them to go beyond where they believe they are. So that was part of it, is challenging people for them to experience it. Because you can tell them up the wazoo, and if they don't get it, they don't get it. They've got to experience it.
Right. So I wanted to do an exercise, if you would be willing. So I want you to pretend, if you will, that I'm at one of your events, or even just someone you don't know, maybe one of our listeners is at one of your events, and they're coming to you and saying, Michael, I don't know what I want to do. I have no idea. I feel so lost. I'm going to push this one, but I think I might be a guy. I don't, you know, like I think that I'm not a girl. I think I'm a guy. I don't know what I want out of life. I feel so lost because I feel like I'm not in the right body. And I just don't know what to do with my life. And I feel like I'm wrong feeling this way. What would you say to me? What questions would you ask me?
First thing I'd say, so why did you come here?
Because I'm miserable. I want something more. I don't know who I am or where to go.
Okay, what do you want?
If I did know, I probably wouldn't be here.
If you did know, what would you know about you? You're here right now. If you did know, what I'm doing in that is challenge you to look deeper right now. Who are you? If you did know. See, the whole premise is you already know. You know, in the training, we're not teaching them anything. We're just assisting them to discover what they already know. So what do you feel? What do you feel you are?
I feel like I don't belong. I know this is this is probably something that people do.
So what's gone on in your life that you feel like you don't belong?
I feel different from everyone. I feel like people don't really connect with me and they don't understand me. And well, this, and for our audience, this is just pretend. I'm being a person, a different person right now. But
and I'm going to tell you, I would have grounded myself for hours before this if it was a training. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm good.
Sorry, I sprung it on you.
No, that's all right.
So repeat your question.
What's gone on in your life that you feel this way?
My parents haven't been very supportive.
How so? See, there I would say, could you be more vague?
Right. How so? They were just too busy with their lives and they just weren't around.
In what way?
They worked a lot. They weren't home. And anytime I had a problem, they didn't want to talk about it. They were kind of rude.
How did that feel?
I felt like I didn't matter.
Now, what's that feel like?
It feels painful.
Where do you feel the pain?
In my heart, in my soul.
And what have you decided about you?
That I am wrong.
Wrong how?
I wasn't meant to be this way.
What do you feel you were meant to be?
Not around.
Are you sure this is fake?
Yes. This is so fake.
Okay.
This is so fake. Okay. I'm a good actress.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm trying to make it real. So
It's the Socratic method of staying in the question for me.
Okay.
Because I have no answers for you. I just go into the question. And that's where on my part, I've got to be trust myself and what I feel as how far do we go now? Because you got to realize there's 4 days we're going to be in this room and going through processes. So with some people, I would challenge them a little bit more and a little bit more. With some people, if I would feel like, okay, right now I'm going to leave them right here and they're going to get it through. I'll give you an example. I would have people like the first day, I'd have them stand up and they're like, why did you pick me? That's a good question. Why did I pick you? And they were just really, really stuck. So I would work a couple other people in the room because I get with this person, it's a brick wall right now. And this was where the, I don't know if you call it the magic or the challenge of it all was, because I don't know what their background is or what they're going to do or anything. I just had to trust me. And I'd work for 3 or 4 people, then I'd come back to them. And I've had times where these people were like totally different people. Because through osmosis, I guess you could call it, of other people opening up and that, all of a sudden they were like, oh, it's okay for me to open up myself. And they would actually reveal a lot more than they thought they would, but they were taking it in from other people. So it would just depend on the person and the moment and what I felt in the moment, but that's kind of how it would go. Just, you know, what's going on? What are you feeling? What's that feel like? If your parents ignored you, what was the message you got from them? Now, people would take exception to that, saying, you can't blame the parents. I'm not blaming the parents. I'm asking that person, what was the message you got, to see where their perception was, what their beliefs they developed out of that. It has nothing to do with the parents. And then later on, we get to a process where they see that. But, you know, a lot of times people would be up in arms and, oh, you're just terrible. It's not their parents' fault. I'm like, didn't say it was. That's your interpretation. And guess what they did? They opened themselves up and now I'm going to work on them. It was wonderful though. But part of the wonder was it was just being in that moment. And I was amazed at how aware I could be pretty much of everything in the room. Because I actually got outside of myself and it was about them. And my only purpose was to support them in getting what they came here for. That's it. Whether they like me or not. And a lot of times they didn't like me for a couple of days. But in the end, I didn't care. But it was just having a purpose, having a vision of why am I here in these 4 days? I'm here to support them to get what they want. And in that, I guess you would say, I stepped I didn't step out of myself. I stepped out of my ego because it wasn't about me. And so I, you know, they could call me all kinds of things. I mean, I was called all kinds of names. I had people clench their fists and threaten to hit me. Nobody ever did. I was losing myself in the work I was doing. And that is, in my experience, was key. Losing ourselves, not worrying about what other people think of us. Because if we're worried about what people think of us, we're going to try to conform to their, what we believe their image of us is. And we don't even know what their image, we make that up. You know, they expect me to be this and this and this. But when we can just be ourselves and we're not sitting here going, ooh, I want them to like me or love me. That's when we can just start to be more natural in our the way we show up in life.
So you said you lose yourself. I think it was more of you connected with your spirit. Like you walked away from your ego.
Yes.
And you connected with your spirit.
Yes.
And your spirit was able to connect with their spirit.
Absolutely.
There are people that I have met, and even I feel like I have felt connected to people just on a level that you just know this person didn't have a very good day. Or there are people who just know that about you.
Totally.
That you walk into a room and they're like, are you doing okay? It seems like you're a little stressed out. And I think there's two sides to that. There's one side of the person who is connected, who is aware, and their spirit is aware of the energies that you're putting out, right? And those people, I feel like, are the ones that they're just intuitive and they know kind of what you need. Similar to your trainings, you would ground forever and you would just kind of know and trust yourself to know, what questions does that person need? How can I help that person? You basically led them to their own spirit and their own awareness. Yeah. Through your questions, you helped them connect again to that space, which I think is amazing, a beautiful thing. And then you have the other side of it, of people who, now I bring this up because I read a book recently called Three Simple Steps and he talks about it. And there are just people who want to gossip. I don't know if gossip's the right word, but they want to complain. And so, I mean, you walk in and you're feeling just fine. And he talks a lot about how thoughts and words have energy. Everything has energy. And thoughts are the closest thing to the most powerful energy there is, which is nothing. That's a weird concept. He goes into it in the book. But he talks about how thoughts are, they have the most power that a human could have. And when you walk into a room and you're feeling just fine, but somebody comes up to you, your coworker comes up to you and say, hey, are you feeling okay? You look like you're not feeling very good. And then you start questioning yourself and you're like, am I not feeling good? I mean, like, maybe I'm not feeling good. Maybe I feel a little under the weather. And then that person's thought just affected how you were feeling. And so there's that difference of people who are aware, who understand that, wow, you have had a bad day, and they can read your energy. And the other people who are influencing your energy and putting out their own energy, right? Like he talks about complainers who they just want to complain. And so often we just get sucked in to complaining because it's so easy to connect with people when you're talking about something that you both dislike. Like you're at work or you're hanging out with a buddy and you're talking about the politician that you absolutely hate, that you can't stand, he's just an idiot. Or you're talking about your boss or these hours or, man, I'm so tired. Like you just come up with all these things that you can complain about. And he was just like, but don't, that's energy. That's negative energy. And you don't want that. He's like, you gotta wear, he talks about having a invisible glass shield that you mentally put in place before you go anywhere, right first thing in the morning. And you imagine these complainers' words just sliding off of you. And he was like, a lot of times you can reverse what they're saying to be something that is not so negative. So like, how are you feeling? Are you feeling okay? And if you really aren't feeling good, if you have a sickness, you could say, I could be feeling better. But instead of being like, yeah, I feel like crap, you say, I could be feeling better. And that sends a message, an energy wavelength to the universe that is positive rather than I feel like crap. And he goes into this whole science behind it and everything. And then he talks about these complainers. And he talks about how sometimes you're really trying to just like detach yourself from these complainers, but they want to get you to complain with them. They just want you to complain with them. And so he was like, one thing that you can say that stops them dead in their tracks most of the time is, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? And if, you know, at that point they realize you don't want to complain with them. They can't take accountability, right? So
have you ever had somebody come up and say, did you know so-and-so did this? You know, kind of a neener. You know, one thing that stops them in their tracks is, as I say, well, what did they say to you when you confronted them with that? Well, they never have. No, what they want to do is get you on their side so they feel validated in their complaint. Because we like to be validated, and that's our ego. Our spirit is like, whatever. And it's not an indifferent whatever. It's like, you know what I am, and you like it or you don't. Doesn't matter. But our ego wants to be validated. What's the easiest way to get validation? Or one of the easiest ways? Complain. Start gossip. Talk about people. I guarantee you, if we had 100 people in a room, and I say, okay, you go and start complaining, and I'm going to tell them all the great things, you're going to get more people. I may be persuasive, but it's like anybody that's achieved anything, those that aren't will find fault with them so they can feel better about themselves. You know, like I worked in the office I worked at for 11 years doing accounting, and there were people talking about this one guy who was my friend, and oh, he's such a brown nose and blah, blah, blah. Well, he wanted to get ahead because he's got a family and he had ambition. And the moment he got ahead, everybody that used to like this guy is now like, oh, he's such a kiss ass. And I remember one day I was in a car with somebody, and her name was Alex. And I said, Alex, you know what? He just got ahead, and 10 years from now, you're going to be sitting where you are complaining, and you're going to be in the same exact spot. I was surprised, though, because somebody came up to me afterward and said, that was really great. But I also was ostracized by a couple of other people. And it was one of those things where I just said what I said and it just came out. I want to talk about words, though, if I could, because you talked about that. Words and thought, they're all energy. In fact, we vibrate. Energy is vibration. There's a book called Power Versus Force that I read years and years ago. They did studies on it. But the energy of the word depends on the person. So like when we talk about, well, this word works for me, this word works for me. The word itself will have the energy that you put on it. So if you go to Germany,
it's like the intent, yes, right?
Yeah, because you're putting the energy behind it. So you use a word, but you put the energy behind it. You go to Germany, you might see trucks going around with the name of a family business that is spelled F-U-C-K-E-R. You know, and for us, it's like, but over there, it's just a word. Or when I was in Mexico, people I was with, the Americans, we would have this woman that cooked our breakfast or cooked our meals. One morning we were talking and somebody mentioned a machine gun and the woman got all bent out of shape. You're not supposed to say that. And he's like, it's just a machine gun. She's like, stop saying that. Well, the sound of it is very close to the F word in Spanish. And she doesn't hear our English. She just hears that phrase. And so the energy she put behind it. To us, it's very innocent. In fact, I could tell you the F word in Spanish, and it doesn't mean anything to me. It's just a word, you know, but it's not the same that I don't usually say the F word because the energy is not conducive to what I want to be. But like I do tours and there's a lot of tour guides that will throw F bombs around and it's like, yeah, okay. If I did that, people go, stop it. What are you doing? So it is the energy of the words we put out, but we do vibrate, and our thoughts are part of that. And so like there's certain levels that are in the realm of fear, judgment, hatred, anger, all that stuff, shame and guilt. They're what I call below the line, and the line that separates them from the, let's say, the higher vibration, like love, trust, acceptance, peace, joy, etc. There's a little line there where we're vibrating at about 250,000 vibrations a second. I don't know how they measured this, but that's the line of courage. Now you think about the word courage, that is the root of it is cor, which is heart in Latin. And it's when we go into our heart that we transcend the fear and we go into the upper elements of enlightenment, and we start to vibrate at a higher level. And all of them are basically encompassed in the area of enlightenment. I mean, they've delineated it by this is peace, this is trust, this is joy, this is enlightenment. But we're never in any of them, we're in all of them. And the same thing when we're within fear. When we're within fear, whether it's judgment, anger, pain, guilt, shame, it's all the same, basically. And I separate the two by saying this is above the line, this is below the line, as a way of delineating it. But it's very, very powerful, and you can feel it. Dogs feel it. Animals feel it. So we're smarter than them, so why don't we?
Babies. Babies feel it.
Absolutely.
Babies feel it. It's when mom is stressed out, when there's a lot of anxiety or pain that's happening in the household, babies feel it. They are fussy, sometimes for no reason. And I don't know, I've just noticed that if I'm having a hard day, my baby's having a hard day because they feel it, because that's their way of connection, is through the energy and the vibration. And I think you touched on a couple of things of with awareness and words and things like that. And I felt like people, humans, put labels on things. They really like to label everything, how things feel, how things, a name, you know, like we like to describe things. We like to try and understand things. And that's kind of how we put things in a box. We are, in my opinion, infinite beings living in a finite world. And so our finite bodies want to try and make everything conform to a specific way, which is why we label things, which is why we put feelings in words. But in all reality, like you've said before, is like, when we get down to our spirit, our infinite being, none of that stuff matters. None of that stuff, you know, you take it with what it is, right? But we still have this mind and this body and this, we're having a human experience. And so we desperately want to understand and make sense of our world. And I think there is beauty on both sides. And I think having the wisdom to know that there is more than the labels that you've placed, that there is more to your preconceived notions, but knowing that it's okay to try and make sense of it as well and make it, find something that makes sense and resonates with you. Did that thought connect?
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out. Sometimes when we try to make sense of something that we experience, if it doesn't make sense, we'll deny the experience. Will invalidate it. That's why a man named Werner Erhard years ago said, understanding is the booby prize of life. Because we take an experience, you know, like love. I don't understand it. I feel it. But if I try to understand it, and I've met people that have put it all into a box and say, well, it's silly, it doesn't make sense, so therefore it's useless. So, you know, I'm not saying that don't understand things. So I think at some point we will understand everything and how it all fits. But just because we don't understand something doesn't mean it's not real.
I love that. I love that. Because I think a lot of things happen in this life that can't be explained. And especially regarding things, in my opinion, about faith. Bad things happen to really good people. And we can't, I mean, it's hard to give a reason why. But just because you don't understand why something happened doesn't mean that it didn't happen, and also that there wasn't a reason for it, right? And one thing my mindset coach always quotes to me or always says to me is, life is happening perfectly. And you just have to trust that life is happening perfectly. Even if you don't get it, even if you don't understand, it's happening perfectly. And just having the faith and the trust that is true, that's going to get you through those questions, those times when you're like, why did this happen? Why do I feel this way? You know, like, I can't answer a lot of those questions, but I know that there's a reason. And I just have to, I mean, I don't know if that's blind faith, but in a way, you just have to believe that life is happening perfectly and that there will be a reason for it, or that there is a reason for it. You just don't understand. His he also said a lot of our frustrations come because of ignorance, because we just don't understand. We don't know. And that's usually why we get frustrated. And he was like, the only way to know and to understand is to trust in God or the universe. And he was like, and you can seek answers and they will be given to you, but you don't know when. And then he's like, but just know that a lot of our frustrations is because we're ignorant. And we just have to have faith, because we are infinite beings, but we don't have infinite knowledge right now.
So you use the term blind faith. Isn't that what faith is? It's not a knowing. Well, there is a knowing, to just trust the path you've chosen to walk. But you don't know what's up ahead. Like if you guys get in the car and you want to drive to Salt Lake City, you can only see as far as your headlights. Now, you've probably been up and down I-15 many times, but you don't know if there's a wreck up ahead or whatever is going to be up ahead. You just drive in faith that you'll get there. You can't see Salt Lake City, but you just trust. Maybe that's not the best example, but
I love, when it comes to faith, my favorite example is wind, because you can't see wind, but you know that it's there. Well, how do you know that it's there? Because you feel it. And on another note, my mindset coach just taught me this thing that he learned from another life coach, of how feelings are the language of the gods. And love is a feeling, and faith is a feeling. And that's how a lot of times the universe works, is through feelings. And that's how God works, is through feelings. So that was kind of a tangent. But faith is like wind. It's knowing that it's there, and or that things are going to work out perfectly, or that life is happening perfectly. And all you have to go on is that you feel it. You feel wind. You can see what it does, but you can't see it. You can't see the wind. And you can, you just have the feeling.
And there's, to me, there's two kinds of feelings. One's emotion, where you see this roller coaster that's got a 300-foot drop, and your little emotion says, no, but something inside says, do it. They're both feelings, but it's discerning, because a lot of times, sometimes when we feel emotionally afraid, because we're going to go somewhere we haven't been, but something says, do it, take the risk, go for it. That's what risk is. That's what trust is. And they're two different feelings. One is emotion, like I said, but the other one is something even deeper. Or like you could love somebody. You feel the love, but something inside of you says, beware, beware. And then that's where we have this little battle of, well, wait, wait.
I think there's that, there's intuition. There's the feeling and the intuition, the connectedness to your spirit,
yeah.
Right?
So, yes. And I want to tell you about vibration. That years ago, I wanted to develop a process of people outside learning to really tune in. And so there was a guide in Provo, this is like 30 years ago, who took people on nature walks. The surprising thing about him was he was legally blind. But the way he would lead people, he was so in tune with the energy of everything around him that he took people on walks, and he would just walk down paths that you would think a little bit scary, even if you could see. Now, I got to tell you, they were blindfolded. So I was trusting me in that this will work. but he would take people on walks, and he was so in tune with everything. His eyesight might have been, I don't want to say a handicap, but it just made it such a more powerful experience. He's died. I can't even remember his name. But it was really very powerful. And I also did another process where I had people, we'd go out to the San Rafael Swell. I don't know if you know where that is, central Utah. But I would have people go out in a tandem. One would be blindfolded and then the other one wouldn't be. And we'd have this person kind of like this goal here. They would go out in the desert, and the other people, their job was to find them. So the reason they had a person with sight was to keep them from falling off the cliffs that were kind of there. It wasn't that treacherous, but if they were, so they're like, okay, if they get within 20 feet of a cliff, tell them, stop. Don't wait till they get like two steps. But what surprised me, because I had this as a like an inspiration of doing this. And the first time I did, it's like, I don't know if this is going to work. I mean, the San Rafael Swell is all spread out, and I don't know where the person is going. But the first time I did it, 60% of the people found the person. They didn't just walk right to them, but it's like life. They would go here, go here, go here, make mistakes, make mistakes, make mistakes. But 60% of them found the person, and I found that was about average every time I did it after that, which was, for me, it was a faith in trusting myself when I have these little promptings to do a process. And it was also trusting the process itself would work. But it was a blind faith every time, because like, what if nobody finds that person?
That's so cool. What a cool story. So I just wanted to wrap up and reiterate some of the points that we made. But one thing that really I feel like stuck with me is don't allow yourself to get stuck in your box. Open yourself up. Open your spirit. Reconnect with that part of you. And begin to be aware of your possibilities and your potential, and you'll begin to be aware of others' possibilities and their potential. As I've started this journey, I began to see my children differently. Rather than putting them in a box of how they've always been, which I feel like that's just so natural for us as humans. And we've talked about that. It's just so natural for us to box everything up. And we do it on our kids. Oh, that's the smart one. That's the athletic one. That's the pretty one. I know that's awful, but we just unintentionally do it. But I've been able to realize that my kids, they're not in that box. They're infinite beings. And they're so much more capable of feeling that, of sensing that, than I am. And I really want to help them see their potential. And I don't, like, I'm starting to think of my kids differently. Like my son, Grant, he's going through this phase where he really likes to be in, I mean, he's always wanted to be in people's bubbles, right? Always in people's bubbles. But he's gotten to the point where it's gotten pretty severe, and he always is just poking and bugging his sisters, all three of them. And they always are like, Grant, stop. Grant, that's annoying. Grant, stop. Anything that Grant does, they tell him that he needs to stop. And I can see it affecting how he feels about himself and how he views himself. And sometimes he almost feels empowered to keep doing it because he wants a reaction and attention and to be annoying, you know? And I've had to step back and be like, no, that's not who Grant is. And I've had to look at him and treat him like seeing his spirit. And I've really asked for guidance and help on this because it's easier said than done. But there have been moments when I'm like, Grant, you're helpful. You are good. You protect your sisters. Like, and he will change how he feels about himself and how he views what he does with his sisters. And it's been a really cool process to see. But anyways, I just wanted to bring that. Just don't box it up. Try and open your heart and your spirit to what's around you and to the possibilities. Michael, did you have any last words that you wanted to give before we wrap this up?
That was great, what you just said. And that's, you never know how much difference something like that can make for somebody. Because I have met thousands of people, and you would not believe how many people said they never heard anything like that from their parents. So that's wonderful that you would say to him that. Now, whether he believes it or not, that's, you know, but yes, that is wonderful, because they will interpret everything we do as this or this. Now, I don't really have anything more to say except, you know, everybody, we are more powerful than we believe. So even if you believe you're powerful, there's more. There's always more.
I love that. And it's really incredible when you really take that to heart. Because sometimes I think I'm going on this growth process. When am I going to stop growing? And then I think, oh, I'm still growing. I've still got work to do. And it's amazing because it's like, I feel like I'm leaps and bounds from where I was a year ago, but I still feel like I've got so far to go. And you don't see that sometimes. So I love that you say that. It's infinite. And our finite minds have a hard time understanding that. So thank you so much, Michael, for sharing your thoughts.
Think about this, you know, you believe in an afterlife and we think, oh, it's just going to be, we're going to have everything we want. How long before that's boring? There's more, even from that, because that'll get boring. You know, where do you want to go today? I don't know. We've been over here 10,000 times, and that's not an exaggeration. You know, so yeah, there's always more. And I believe there's more even after we can't comprehend, even after we transition. So thank you.
I love that. That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you guys haven't already, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We would love to hear from you guys where you already are podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And if you guys have questions, you guys have comments, go ahead and reach out to us. We want to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on You Already Are. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire, and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.